give me the flats at dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
And with that beer pour, you guys know it's Monday night. It is the Monday Night Kickoff Show. I am the host of said show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Joining me, as always, my illustrious co-host, Mr. Pepe Vidal. What's up, brother?
What's up, beer man? Good evening. A little tired tonight, but I'm good, man. Today was one of those type of days at work, man. It was like 90-something degrees and working outside for a couple hours, and that was pretty bad. But other than that, man, I'm good, man.
Good deal. Good deal. So, did you get a chance to get out and do any fishing this past week, bro?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but I had an impromptu trip to the Keys.
I did see that.
Yeah, man. It wasn't like a planned thing or nothing. It was sort of like, you know, last minute type deal almost, you know, stuff like that. And headed over to the Keys this past weekend, And did a little bit of offshore fishing, did do some offshore fishing and stuff, and that's about it. Didn't do any inshore or anything like that, just did some offshore, and caught a bunch. I mean, could have caught 100 peanut dolphins if we wanted to. I mean, there were so many peanut, there was peanut dolphin everywhere out there.
Nice.
You know, they're all just, they're too small, you know, everything was too small. We were just catching and releasing and stuff, and I even pulled the fly rod out for a little while there and tried to see if I could entice them to eat a fly, man. But they'll come right up to it and sniff it and leave it alone. I mean, it was like that for like half hour with the fly rod. And
yeah.
Just got frustrated after a while and just put it down and just said, okay, I'm done. <It's> like, but yeah, but tons of peanut dolphin out there, man. Tons of peanut dolphin. I mean, all the peanut dolphin you want out there. But we went like about 15 miles offshore, and that's where the peanuts were. And then the real big ones and stuff, like all the big ones and stuff I heard were like 30 miles out, and that's way out there. I mean, we weren't going 30 miles out. So that's about it, man. Did that this weekend. That's about the only fishing I did. I had a good time doing it, though, man. It was a great time.
That's awesome.
I know you guys did. You guys did some inshore fishing. I know Alan did too, man. I know you guys were on the fish.
Yeah, Alan went up to the Mosquito Lagoon. I saw he got into some reds and caught some trout too, I guess. And Tammy and Vicky Saley, I guess they both got into some tarpon. Sunday morning before opening up the shop, I was invited to go over to one of our customers, one of our Space Coast Kayak Angler members, Alec. Young Alec, you know who I'm talking about?
Yep.
So Alec and his mom and his family invited me over to the house to launch off the backyard, basically, and that was pretty awesome.
Wow.
And I've been wanting to fish with Alec for quite a while. He's been coming into the store for a good while now, and they're good customers of mine. And plus two, I just like him. He's a good kid, very polite. I bet you. No exaggeration. He must have thanked me 100 times throughout the day, just because I'm just complimenting him on his casting. Listen, when I was at his age, I could skip a bait. I could do it, you know, but this kid, every dock we hit, Pepe, he's skipping a bait right up underneath the dock, and he's skipping a bait over to a seawall, and he's on point, man. Kid's good. Cool to see the younger generation like that, you know, with a good skill set like that. So, but here, check this out. So it's kind of crazy. So I get to his house. I'm late, which I'm never late getting down the water. You guys know that. I'm never late getting down the water. I was late. I was a half hour late. I honestly slept in, whatever. So I get to his house. I roll the PA with the wheels down the dock. We dump the PA.
Yeah.
in the river off the end of the dock. And it's a good probably three and a half, maybe 4 foot drop from the dock to the water. So, I mean, no big deal. I mean, I jumped boat and walked it down and then grabbed the back end of the boat and set it in the water, whatever. Got my power pole rigged up, hit my button to, you know, keep the boat where I needed it so I can start rigging up my one of my rods so I didn't have anything rigged on it. And dude, 5 feet, 5 feet away from me rolls a tarpon. I can't even make it up. And I look up at Alec, I look up at his mom and I'm like, really? like y'all have tarpon rolling right off your dock when there's commotion in the water. Like, they're that comfortable around here? Oh, we're gonna have to put some hooks in tarpon's faces. That's just gonna have to happen. So,
man,
Alec's biggest redfish to date is 21 inches. Right, caught it off his dock. So my goal that morning was to try and find him a redfish that was bigger than 21 inches. So we took off from his backyard on down the shoreline looking for pushes, looking for tails, looking for anything. Didn't see a thing. Saw a few pushes, threw to him, turned out to be tarpon. Tarpon, 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 tarpon. Tarpon everywhere. Not a problem. That's not a bad thing, right? I'd give up 100 redfish catches to catch a tarpon. I love catching tarpon. I love catching redfish. But you know what I'm saying. Tarpon are one of those fish. You don't see them every single trip.
Yep.
So it's special, you know. So we get down to the causeway by where he lives. And we turn around and I'm like, look, I didn't see anything that looks, you know, fishy as far as redfish and trout or whatever. We passed on those tarpon back there. Let's go back and let's focus on that. That's kind of the sure thing right now. So we head back and Alec's like, yeah, usually they roll over here by this one dock. And he describes the dock. So we come rolling up. We come pedaling up. And sure enough, the dock that he says are normally around, they're stacked all around the dock. And I'm like, man, this is going to be good. So I'm like, go ahead, man, throw in there. So he throws in there, hooks a fish, lost it, hooks a fish, lands it, a decent little tarpon, you know, a little river tarpon. That's the picture that I put up.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's got a fish, I figure, yeah, why not? So I pull out my fly rod, and I start slinging the fly, and hooked one, lost it, and then hooked another one, lost it, and then finally got one. And the one that I got, he got a little bit of video of me standing up, you know, landing it. And it was pretty cool, man. It was definitely interesting to fish that area. I'd never fished that area from a kayak. I fished it from boats before, from skiffs before, but I've never fished the docks, never fished the seawalls, never fished up close, you know. And
yep.
I guess from what he was telling me, there's a lot of big snook that hang around by his place too. So that's pretty interesting. But all in all, it was a good morning. Got off the water a little bit earlier than expected. I almost forgot that I had a meeting at the shop with a customer. Guys coming down from the Carolinas on the way down the Keys wanted to stop and check out some RCI optics. So jumped off the water, jumped in the truck, hauled Bud up to the shop, got there. Gentleman comes in and purchases his pair of RCI optics and some other stuff, and they get on the road to go back down south, and the rest of the day was great. But that was pretty much my fishing for this weekend. I mean, it was short and sweet, but awesome nonetheless. One landed tarpon for me, a couple jump offs. Watched Alec pull that one in, which was cool, and good conversation, you know, and kids like a sponge. So anytime any of you guys from Space Coast Kayak Anglers that are listening out there have an opportunity to go somewhere and fish an area, you might want to give this kid a shout on Facebook and see if he wants to maybe join you or whatever. I think we should try and get him more involved. He's got crazy talent, so it's fun to watch. But anyhow, so there's that. And then I saw that Ed and Mike Welsh and them went down to Pompano, I guess, or Dania Beach, one of them places. And did pretty well. I saw Michael jumped his first sailfish, lost it, but still nonetheless had it on. And then what else? Ed got a couple of blackfin tunas and a bonita eaten in half. They got a cool picture of a giant, not giant, but a big barracuda coming out of the water. So that's pretty cool. But other than that, man, it's, you know, stand by and wait now to see what this front does to us, this little tropical depression or whatever sitting off our coast. So,
yeah,
any word on that?
It's going to go north. Nothing's going to happen with that stuff, I don't think. But the winds are going to be pretty bad for the next couple of days, it looks like. It looks like it's going to be windy. So any type of yak fishing that you're going to do now, that, you know, within the next couple of days or anything like that, you better be hiding out somewhere behind some islands or something, because it looks like it's going to be pretty windy. So,
yeah.
But,
well, but so real quick, last week we were hoping to have Noah Miller on the show to talk about his first place finish over there at the Cars Park Redfish Challenge. And because he beat you in by time, by the way.
Yeah.
Not to rub it in. But without further ado, let's welcome Mr. Noah Miller to Kayak Fishing Radio.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Never thought you'd get a standing ovation coming onto a radio show, huh?
No, probably not. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man, good.
Yeah, well, good.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your day out there, game plan, that kind of thing, and, you know, just kind of let us in on how you pulled it out.
Okay. Greg Berry is basically my fishing wife. And pretty much every weekend we're out on the water together, and we just came up with a plan. We were like, we're just going to go fish our normal, that west side at the no motor zone, and we'll be there. We'll launch at 6 o'clock in the morning. We knew it was going to be a little bit of, you know, a race to kind of paddle north and kind of get ahead of all the crowd of the plastic armada that was going to be out there. So we started as soon as it was 6 o'clock in the morning, we started heading north, and tell you what, man, I'm in my Sports Authority kayak just paddling my butt off with my Bedding Branches paddle there and trying to keep ahead of everybody. And sure enough, it paid off. We paddled pretty far. We paddled up past the towers there, started fishing, and pretty much all day I was throwing the Slayer stick bait, the SSB. And I started off the morning and throwing it in the mulching color. And just paddling along, looking for fish, standing up, push pulling along the flats there. And sure enough, I come up on a school of about 25 to 30 reds, just balled up, shoulder to shoulder, slot-sized fish, man. And fished that SSB in front of them and twisted a couple times, boom, got hit. And missed the fish. Like, oh, I see the fish pick up, start to move slowly away from me. Can still see every one of them, like, 6 inches apart from each other, slowly creeping off. So I make another cast in front of them. Boom, get hit again. I set the hook, fight that fish, kind of yell over to Greg to try and get a cast in there to hook one of them. And sure enough, he does. He gets a small, you know, a rat red, actually, out of that school. And I get the fish in, measure him. He was about, I think he was a 23.5-inch fish. I'm like, great. I've got a fish, you know, I'm on the board, and now I'm going to try and, you know, keep upgrading throughout the day. And kept fishing, plugging away, throwing, blind casting, seeing some smaller fish move around. I ended up catching about 10 reds that day, but most of them were within the 15 to 18-inch range, just a lot of rat red schools moving around, pushing up lakes, kind of getting me excited, and then I'd hook a fish and it'd just be a small red. So just all throughout the day, I'm trying to upgrade. And about 11 o'clock in the afternoon, or in the morning, I should say, I'm out on the flat just kind of drifting along looking for schools, and I see a red laying in about 2 feet of water sitting on top of the grass. His head's almost completely buried in the grass. And I pitch a Slayer SST in the Smoking Mullet, which is one of my favorite colors this time of year, across about 6 feet, you know, in front of the fish at an angle, and start reeling it to him. And I got to say, those paddle tails throw off so much vibration, before the bait even got within eyesight of the fish, that fish picked his head up, looked at it, and just charged for it. I watched the gills flare open, sucked the bait in, and I ripped his face sideways, and it was off to the races, and that fish was just taking off, pulling out drag, and it was awesome, man. And I got that fish in, and he was 23¾ inches, and that was, you know, I guess the winning fish, man, because, you know, I thought for sure, well, you know, I'll be on the board, but I had no clue that I was going to be first place, so it was awesome, man. It was a great tournament, just awesome, you know. I can't say enough good things about Alan and the way he ran that tournament. Everything was smooth. The food was awesome. You know, it was great seeing everybody and hanging out with everybody. It was just incredible, man. So I can't say enough good things about it. And just a big thank you to all the sponsors and everyone who participated. It was just an amazing event, and I can't wait to fish Alan's next tournament.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I think everybody had a good time. I know Peppy was your runner-up, came up right up there behind you with the same length, and you know, missed you by a couple of hours or whatever it came out to be. But that was a good event, man. Good showing.
Yep, and I was the same as Noah. I was thinking the same as Noah. That's why I stayed out there. I checked in with 7 minutes. I think I had 7 minutes left before his deadline. I mean, I stayed out there all day because I would never in the world imagine what I had would have ended up in the top somewhere like that. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying no way. With 130-something anglers, there's no way those two fish are going to end up in the top somewhere. You know, so that's, you know, that's fishing though, man. It's fishing, man. You know, it's, you just got to, you know, try as hard as you can every single time when you're tournament fishing. And I do, you know, Chuck knows the way I fish, and I will fish my butt off on tournaments, and I will stay out there to the last minute if I can. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you got to do. And I mean, you just got to persevere and try your best and everything like that. And you did good, man. You did awesome, man. And to catch your fish in no motor zone, let me tell you, man, I'll give you even more props for doing that. Because
yeah,
as
no
many
crap.
People were in that place, yeah, man, that was, no way, man. I was not even going to get close to that place.
I thought about
it. Yeah,
it was packed, man.
Yeah.
I thought about it for a minute. I was like, you know what? If I put in it at Cars and haul butt to the northeast corner, I might be all by myself. You know, I'll hustle up there. I'll use that PA to my advantage and get up there quick. But no, I was like,
yeah.
No. When I saw how many people, because I didn't know. I had no clue there was going to be 130-something anglers. I figured it was going to be 50, 60, maybe 70 anglers, which was, you know, kind of typical for the last couple tournaments. And 130-something anglers, and, yeah, that's impressive, dude, regardless. And it was a tough, tough day. And for you to catch, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever fish you ended up with, that's incredible, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was off the water early. I got off the water at 9 o'clock, and even by getting off the water early, I knew it wasn't going to happen for me. There's no freaking way. And, you know, I was hoping, I'll be honest, I was kind of rooting for you guys, for obviously all of our Space Coast guys. And one thing I hate about tournaments here locally is when we, any of us, get beat by guys from out of town. That pisses me off. So, yeah, it's our own backyard. But no, that was awesome, man. Congratulations for sure for a great win. Now, here's the question of the day. The question of the day is, are you going to stay in your Sports Authority kayak, or are you possibly shopping around? As I've heard a rumor that you may or may not be thinking about joining the dark side.
Oh, I'm well on my way to the dark side. The problem is that I just had a kid about 8 months ago.
Yes, you did.
And we're buying our first house within the next few months. So I'm well on my way to the dark side, but, you know, the wife and the money just aren't there yet. Exactly.
Yeah, you got priorities. That's cool, man. That's all right.
So I'll be there within the next year. I'll have my Hobie, man, and I'll be on the dark side. So.
Sweet. And then you can use that C-Deck kit, I guess, then, huh?
Yeah. I'll hold on to that thing, man. I already have C-Deck on my Sports Authority kayak, believe it or not. I actually already have C-Deck on that. You would not believe it. I'll post a picture of it on Spanish Coast Kayak Anglers. I've got it actually rigged out pretty good for a Sports Authority kayak.
You did it in teak, didn't you?
No, Greg Berry actually has the teak one. I've got it's the same texture as the teak, but it's the gray color that I have.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I
actually heard that when you had won that SeaDeck, and I think I was talking to you, Chuck, or to Alan or somebody, and I told man, I hope he holds on to that certificate and just holds on to it until he gets a boat that, you know, what he really wants, you know, and just do it with that, you know, do it then.
Yeah, it was kind of funny when Alan asked me what boat I had. I was like, I got a Sports Authority kayak.
It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter a bit. I mean, look, as long as it floats and it gets you from point A to point B, you kicked everybody's butt on a day where it was really, really tough. And, I mean, the thing that was interesting to me about the tournament was it was almost, honestly, there was quite a few guys there that were from out of town and some of them from out of state that are known champions of some of the biggest tournaments. Like, I mean, you beat a lot of really, really good anglers that day, dude. So definitely hold your head high on that one. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, man.
It's awesome.
Honestly, Chuck, I owe a lot of what I learned to that fishing seminar that you gave on inshore fishing for redfish. What was it, 2 years ago at that strike zone, that little seminar that you did where Greg Berry and I went with and listened to you talk for an hour. That was really what got me into kayak fishing and fishing for redfish, and specifically sight fishing redfish. You know, so thank you for that, man. Learned a lot, and you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
I don't know what Chuck, you there? No? Oh, okay. We must have lost Chuck or something like that, man. No, that's good though, man. But and I remember, and this weekend you went out too. This weekend you went fishing this weekend also and caught some fish, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got a story about that. I went down to the Wabasso area. I won't say exactly where because I really like that area. But
I know that area
with,
well.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, yeah, I know it
Greg
well.
Berry. So I went with Greg Berry and my little brother, Luke. And we launched early in the morning and paddled out and actually had a pretty tough day. I normally do fairly well there on smoke and reds. And I only got one nice red that I sight fished all along the mangroves there. That fish came on the molting SST as well. I love that bait, man. It's just an awesome bait. But I got him. I got a few small snook and really didn't do much until about 11 o'clock again. Like, the heat of the day is really starting to get hot. And I pitched a SSB in the gold brim color, so the stick bait, underneath of a dock, and hooked about a 40-inch snook. And that snook took off, man. I got him out of the dock at first, and I actually hooked him on that new Bull Bay rod that I won in the tournament. And that rod was in the U. I was putting that new rod to the test, man, and just pulling on that fish. And you know what? I won't say what hook it was, but that hook is completely straight now. And I lost that fish because the hook bent straight.
I've had that happen several times with some big fish like that. Straight. And I know exactly that area. Basha, let me tell you, that area around there, I've fished it now for probably, it's been a good 4 or 5 years that I've been fishing that area. And I haven't fished it lately. I don't fish it as much as I used to because the fishing just got real bad down there with the grass dying out and all kinds of stuff and everything like that. It just wasn't as good as it used to be. But let me tell you, I fished it last summer I fished it. And somewhere around last summer or somewhere right after summer or something like that. Let me tell you, man, I saw some big snook when I was down there in that area. I did see some big snook it's coming back. The snook fishing in that area is coming back, man. It's really good fishing in that area.
Without a doubt.
Have you hooked any, let me ask you, have you gotten into any flounders down there lately? Because I used to catch flounder all the time.
You know, I was so mad because I was throwing the new cockroach color in some dirtier water right along the edge of an oyster bar, where it kind of dropped off down to a little bit of a mud bottom there. And it hooked a fish, and I'm reeling him in, and I yell to Greg, wow, I got a nice flounder. He's coming home. I get the flounder up. He does that fatal little head shake that they do.
Yeah.
And there he goes. And I was like, oh, man, I just wanted to cut that fish out. Because he was going to come for a long piece of flounder. But, yeah, I did have a flounder on, but he came off. He was probably about 18-inch fish, a good fish.
Okay. Yeah, that's good, man. I used to catch flounder there. I used to have some holes. I don't know. I wonder if I still go back to some of those spots. There's some holes over there that I know of that actually have those little, you know, those little cuts inside the mangroves and stuff, and the water runs through those little cuts. Those flounder like to hang out right there in those little cuts. Those little cuts in the mangroves right there and stuff, they love hanging out there ambushing bait. And, man, there was a time that they did not go down there and I did not bring home a flounder. Always. In one of those little cuts, there was always a flounder somewhere there. But, you know, that's why I'm asking you how it is lately, because I know a lot of other people that know that same area that I know and stuff where have told me, they go, man, the flounder's not, they're not there like they used to be. You know, they're not there. And I'm like, man, I wonder what the heck is going on to make them change it up, you know, that they're not there. But
Yeah, I fished it a few times lately within the past couple of months, and that was the first flounder I've hooked out of there. So I wouldn't say there's a whole lot of them there per se, you know, that I've seen, but definitely, you know, I did hook that one. So
yeah, but that's good. That's good to see that the snook, man, are coming back in that area, man, and big ones too, man. Because I know the one I saw last year, man, I did see a big one out there, man. I saw a big one, and I was like, I could not believe it. I was like, oh my god, you know, I would love to hook that, you know, hook something like that, you know. But I'm glad to see they're coming back. Because they were there before, you know, and now they're making a comeback, which is good to hear, you know.
Oh yeah, next time I'll be prepared with some super strong hooks and some heavy leader, and I'll be pitching those docks for sure.
Yeah, and that's the problem with those 40-inch snook. You know what I'm saying? The 40-inch snook, man, that's no joke, man. The way that sucker pulls, man, something like that.
Oh my gosh, it was insane. It was Snookzilla, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and you know, and I talked to some other people, you know, some other guys in the fishing industry before, when I've had big fish, big 40-inch plus fish, do the same thing on me and bend my hooks. But the hooks that I've had bent have been weedless hooks. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're
that's
weedless
out on me. Yeah, they were weedless hooks.
These weedless hooks, most weedless hooks are not made to catch fish that big.
Right.
You know, they're not made. Somebody's putting on the shark music, huh?
Chuck must be back.
Yeah, he must be back now.
I'm back.
You're back. We were just talking big snook.
Yeah, sorry about that, folks. That's what happens when you forget to pay your bill. No, I'm kidding. I forgot to plug in my laptop this morning, so my laptop died. Big snook, huh? Well, I heard Noah talking about flounder.
He was down. What he's saying, he was down at Wabassoware and he was fishing last week, and he had a story to tell us. And he actually told us a story about big snook that he lost. He could tell you, but he could say it again, and he could tell you about it and stuff. You probably didn't hear that part about it.
Yeah, I did. I caught that part of it too. There's nothing as exciting as that initial thump from a big snook, and when you know it's a snook, it the hairs on the back of your neck will stand up, and I don't know, man. To me, it's probably one of the hardest game fish in the river besides a tarpon to land, the big snook.
I've caught a few big ones, but this one was just a beast. It was probably my biggest snook ever. If I had landed it, it would have been my biggest snook ever, even bigger than some of the snook I caught, you know, out of Sebastian Inlet and everything. It was just, poof, it was huge.
That's a monster to catch something like that on a flat. If you're saying it was bigger than the ones you caught on Sebastian Inlet, then that thing must have been big too.
Oh yeah, and it was in a dock, right where, you know, a longer dock where it's probably got, you know, 6 to 8 feet of water, and it was sitting in that deeper water. I let that bait sink all the way down and then just twitched a couple of times off the bottom and thump, I had a fish. And then I seen the snook come up and he was head shaking at me and everything. And then he took off the other direction. went away from the dock at first and then turned right back. He knew where his home was, and he went right back underneath of that dock.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man, that's terrible when something like that happens, when you lose something like that, man. I had the last big snook I lost like that. It was down at the Adventure Fishing World Championship down in Chokoloskee, down there pre-fishing. Pre-fishing down there. I was pre-fishing down there, threw into the mangroves a couple times, and pitched into there and hooked up a big snook down there and pulled that sucker out, man. And I actually worked out good because I was in the Slayer Propel and I was able to hit reverse. You know, I started reversing as fast as I can when I hooked that thing to get him out of the mangroves, and I got him out. The only problem is, you know, when you have a big fish like that, I had him out and I was fighting him on the side of the kayak. He decided to do a 90-degree turn and turned and went underneath my kayak. And you know what happens when a big fish like that goes underneath your kayak and your rod tip goes under the kayak and everything like that? It didn't last long. The fight was over.
Yep.
Yep.
Man, yep. That sucks.
And that was the cameras. I had a video guy with a camera crew out there and everything like that when that happened. And I know they got it on video, and I'm sure they had to. Whatever they got on video, they probably have to bleep it out afterwards. All the stuff that I was saying when it was done, man, I threw my rod on the kayak. I was cussing. I was doing all kinds of stuff because of that. You know, I lost a big fish. You know what I'm saying? It just ticked me off the way I lost, and I pulled him out of the mangroves, and all of a sudden he dives underneath the boat like that. You know, just does a complete 90-degree turn underneath the boat. And there's nothing you can do then. You're done. You're done. If he takes your rod tip under the boat, you're done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those fish are some of the smartest fish about getting in a structure.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting to watch. Yeah, that was pretty interesting to watch. Pepe and I, and actually there's a whole host of us that came out of this cut out into the bay. And as soon as he made the right-hand turn, I think it was his first or second cast, he's boat up on a big snook, and we're all like, really? And then it was as soon as he hooked it, I was like, man, that's a big fish. I seen it come up to the surface and head shake once, and I was like, man, that's a big fish. And Alex and I were kind of like getting over there to kind of go see it. And about the time that we got near him, it was like, pow, done. He's not exaggerating when he said that there were some expletives that were yelled out. So they definitely couldn't have used it for the family-friendly video at the end. But it would be cool to see that footage, the raw footage.
Yeah, right? I haven't even seen the footage myself. I would love to see that footage of that snook like that. I wonder if I'm sure they got it there. I could probably ask them to see if I could, because I would like to see it too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Well, that's awesome, man. Let's see what time it is. 8:34. Folks,
hey, guys,
always,
I got to run.
It's been good. What's that?
You got to run?
Yeah, I got to run, guys, but it's been awesome. Sorry to cut it short, but I got to get out of here.
All right, buddy. Take it easy, man. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Take
it easy.
All right, Noah.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
There you go. So that was Noah giving us a couple of fishing stories there. Folks, as always, you know that Pepe and I are both sponsored by PowerPole. The PowerPole Micro is an incredible tool for any kayak, any small skiff, airboat. It's a, man, it is without a doubt a game changer. I'm telling you. The other day, I think I convinced Alec that he needs one for his PA. We're working in between the docks looking for those tarpon, and there was a couple of docks that were no longer really in existence. There were some pylons that were left standing from where the docks used to be, and I was able to slide the PA in while throwing the fly, push the button on my remote, get the boat to stop, and throw the fly almost simultaneously and be able to get me on those fish. So definitely check them out if you haven't already done so. Come by the shop at the KBB Outfitters or Kayaks by Bow and take a peek at one of the ones we have set up there in the store. Just a great, great tool all around to be had for sure. Appreciate everything those guys do for us. Great sponsors of the show, so appreciate that. Talk to Finn a little bit today. He's they're excited about ICAST. They're going to be there, I guess. So That'll be fun. Go by and see those guys. So talking about iCast a little bit. A lot of folks that are listening to the show that may or may not get to go. Let's see. We got a hold on 1 second. We got a new listener from O-Town. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Chris Brands is telling me to say hello to our new listener from O-Town. So, yeah. So anyhow, so, thank you. Well, oh, Greg Adair. There he is. So, appreciate it, Greg. But anyhow, so a lot of folks who are listening to the show may or may not know what iCast is. iCast is the world's largest fishing tackle, product show. It is a, it's not open to the public. It's closed off to vendors, reps, and buyers and media. You can get, some folks get passes to get in via their sponsor programs or whatever. I'm going as a buyer, obviously, for KBB Outfitters. Looking forward to jumping out there and seeing what's new and exciting. I've got, you know, I don't know what all you've heard yet, Peppy, about new stuff that we're going to see out there, but I've heard, or I know for a fact, that there's a few things that definitely have my interest. First and foremost, last couple of years, Akuma Fishing has really come a long way. The guys from Akuma Fishing have done a great job at coming out with really, really good quality inshore reels, offshore reels and such. And this next year seems to be no different. They have a new line of rods coming out for next year that are going to be called Shadow Stalkers. They have a East Coast inshore series of those rods that they will be unveiling down there. Over here at iCast Orlando this year. And I'm looking forward to seeing those. I was lucky enough to have the product manager from both Savage Gear and from Akuma in the shop, a couple months ago. And they were telling me about their plans to build some inshore rods, and the price points are going to be proper, right around $100 retail, maybe a little bit more. But, yeah, looking forward to seeing that. And there's some a bunch of stuff that I've gotten some emails on lately that's new and exciting. We can't really release until after the show. Is there anything in particular that you're really looking forward to seeing, Pep?
Like always, I mean, it's one of those things when you go to iCast, you're pretty much in awe when you're in that place because that show is just so huge. I mean, it is huge, and there's always going to be something there that just floors you or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You always find something new that you could. Like certain lures or something like that, I'm sure we're gonna see some baits out there, Chuck. Like we've seen in the past, you just sit there and they have that bait in a pool and they have it swimming, and you're just sitting there looking at it like, oh my God, could that be real? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, certain things like that. You know, there's really nothing in particular that I want to see. The only thing that I really that I have heard a lot of talk about and stuff, and I want to see what they come out with. I mean, I want to see what it is, but I'm pretty sure I know what it is. But it's like we've talked about it. It's the new Predator. It's the new Old Town kayak they're coming out with. They said it's hands-free. We don't know what it is, what they mean by hands-free, but I'm curious to see what they come out with, you know? I have a feeling, like you said, it's probably an electric motor. But I'm curious, you know, I'm curious to see what they come out with.
Yeah, Johnson Outdoors that owns Ocean and owns Old Town, they also own Minn Kota. So, I mean, it just kind of, they already had the torque from Ocean at one point. So, I mean, I would venture to say it's probably what it's going to be. But about it, though, especially in our little niche, the kayak market, kayak companies have been, let me back up. The kayak influence has grown tremendously over the last couple of years at iCast. It started off where there was like one, maybe two kayak companies and nobody there with kayak stuff. You know, Ram didn't have a booth, or I shouldn't say that. Ram did have a booth, but it was more boat type materials as opposed to the kayak stuff. And then there was, Scotty wasn't really big there at the show, and you didn't really see a lot of the manufacturers. Like I said, it might have only been two. Last year in Vegas, there it was crazy. Jackson had a booth, and Hobie, of course, had a booth, and Wilderness didn't have a booth, but they had the new Ride X there in the Lowrance booth. Diablo was there, New Canoe was there, Freedom Hawk was there, Moken was there. I mean, there was a bunch of different companies that were there.
So it's like,
and then you had,
it seems like every year is growing more and more with the kayak industry. That's great.
It is. And what's really cool is not just with the kayak industry, but now too with the fly side of things, which is what I'm really excited about this year. And if I could be quite honest with you, last year, again, out in Vegas, the fly side of the show was really kind of cool. They had it kind of sectioned off, and it was its own kind of a thing. And it was nice. It was cool to go in there and see, you know, strictly fly fishing type stuff and things that would work well in an outfitter's type setting, like, I'm not going to say high end, but, you know, a little bit nicer tackle bags and real cases and leader wheel holders and all kinds of things that fit that fly fishing market. You know what I'm saying? And then there was a lot of, there was a pile of custom tires that were there. Or commercial tires, I should say, that were there with samples of their flies, like on pegboards, and just to walk through and see some of that stuff was really, really cool. I'm looking forward to that for sure. That's probably going to be – I'm probably going to spend most of my time in that section of the show, which promises to be a little bit bigger this year than even last year.
I was going to ask you, when is the whole fly fishing – remember, I think they're dedicating one day to fly fishing, aren't they? Like, isn't it one day they have a big fly fishing thing going on?
Well, I mean, they have fly stuff going on all week because it's different.
Yeah.
It's actually a different little section. I'm not sure. They may have an evening where it's going to be like, I don't know, like last year, for instance, they did the Drake magazine was there, and they had an event. An award ceremony, if you will, for the fly fishing film tour, basically, where they, you know, it was kind of a, you know, cash bar. You walk in and it's like a who's who of fly fishing. And it was just a lot of fun. You know, get to watch some really awesome videos put on by the folks from the Drake, and it was good. But they have a casting pond there. There'll be all kinds of industry pros that'll be walking around throwing fly lines and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting for you to see it, you know, because like I say, it's a nice break from the rest of the show. It's not as busy as the rest of the show, so it's nice. It's the problem with ICAST for me is that it is very, very busy. I'm not a very busy show kind of a person, if that makes any sense. I don't like to be shoulder to shoulder with a lot of people for extended periods of time. It's just not my thing. So to be able to sneak away and go to the fly section and be able to have, you know, some breathing room and be able to actually have a conversation without having to yell over 100 people is kind of nice. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I agree.
So, yeah.
That's how it was when the times that I've gone like that, it's been like crazy packed, you know, like crazy. You know, like you're saying, shoulder to shoulder, and you're trying to look at something, and then you got somebody else there, and then all of a sudden, you know, sometimes it's so packed that you want to talk to somebody there, to one of the reps, and you just can't talk to anybody. It's that crowded. I mean, it really is. It's a good. I like it. You know, I like it. It's just a little, like you said, just get ready for the crowd. You know, get ready for that stuff because it's going to be there. So,
absolutely. And one of the things that, like last year, for instance, I had to break my time up into multiple days to be able to see the things I wanted to see. And like, I know Mike Welsh and some of the guys that are in the chat room are going to be out there. And one of the things that I can tell you from having many, many years of experience at ICAST is that kind of in your head, have a plan of how you kind of want to walk through the show. You can go online to the ICAST website, and you can see pretty much a aerial map of where everyone's booths are going to be. If I were you, if you could only make it out there for one day, you probably should earmark a couple of booths that you absolutely want to see. Because when you get there and you start walking around and you see how big this show is, in order for you to take the time to walk through each individual booth and actually look at everything, it's going to take you multiple days. That's the reason why I'm not going to be at the store at all that entire week. I mean, I'm going to be in Orlando the entire week. I have to be, because I know from experience that it just there's no way you can walk that show in a day and see everything. Go to Clear Coat. We'll see. Let's see. Cool. Ricky Banks will be there. It's going to be interesting for sure. You know, I will venture to say that this will probably be the biggest of the ICAST shows that I've ever been to this year's, because of the fact they brought in the Fly last year and it did so well. I think that that's going to be even bigger this year. I know there's some guys that are coming, some rod manufacturers that are coming to ICAST that are new to ICAST, and I'm really excited about seeing them. Clutch Fly Rods has got a booth over in the fly section, so I'm excited to see that. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, but you know, also remember too that it's not it, if you did get a pass and you are going, you know, whichever way you're going, remember this. And I'm only saying this as a friend. I'm only saying this so you have a good experience. If you show up with a portfolio in your hand and you're trying to get sponsorship deals and all this kind of crap, they will probably throw you out.
Yep.
I watched them remove a few people in Vegas, and yeah, it's not that kind of a show. No one cares about your tournament shirt. No one cares about your resume. Just go and check out all the new stuff and have a great time. And, you know, honestly, the time when most of that kind of thing happens is after the show. So you might go and network and make good connections and just, you know, make you know, friendly conversation with folks in their booths and whatever. And then in the evenings, sometimes there's after parties, like Costa has a big after party, and some of the other manufacturers have big parties and whatnot. And when you go to those types of situations, sometimes those conversations just naturally come up because you're in a much more relaxed setting and it's not so much about the business. So, but yeah, don't just do yourself a favor, go and understand that it's a show that's designed for media and buyers. And truly that's it. Like that, the whole purpose of ICAST is for the media to be able to see what's coming out new and for buyers to be able to see what's coming out new. And, look at that. Mike said he had a custom shirt made for the show.
yeah.
That's awesome. But you laugh, dude. You know what? There's a lot of people do that. A lot of people do
Mike,
that.
Mike should go on. Mike should get a shirt that says one of those type of shirts like that, one of those performance shirts that says on it, put your logo here real big and walk around with that thing. You know?
With like one of those bright neon like little sticker signs on it, say like $59.95 or whatever. That's
yeah.
Awesome. Mike says in the chat room, his resume on the back and hero shots on the front. That is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
No, you know who, and just to give you an idea, you know who walks around the show in a jersey? Is the bass professionals. And you know why they walk around the show in a jersey? Because they're getting paid to be at ICAST. And their sponsors expect them. Like Mike Iaconelli and some of those guys, you'll see them wandering around and they'll be wearing their tournament jerseys. And by all means, Iaconelli should be wearing his tournament jersey at ICAST. I mean, why not? It's Mike Iaconelli. Like, guy freaking deserves it. Like, you know. But it's so classic, man. Every year, there's always a group of, there's always a few groups of dudes that are walking around and they're wearing their shirts and it's just, and they got an envelope with them, with resumes inside of it and that kind of thing. And it just cracks you up, you know? And when I used to go as media, I just laugh at it. Now that I'm going as an actual fire. It's annoying.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
Exactly, and it's one of those things, Chuck. It's almost like you go there, and you know you're frowned upon about doing that, and actually the vendors themselves and the companies themselves don't like it because they're busy right now. You know, this is their time of the season right there. This is their show that they actually make a lot of money in this show. I mean, this is where they sell a lot of products. You know, they get products into stores and all kinds of stuff, and they don't want to be dealing with pro staff stuff and, you know, sponsorship stuff during this show. If anything, what you try to do is make a contact with somebody or something like that and talk to somebody and just talk to them normal, whatever, and stuff like that. Maybe they give you a business card. And you know what? A week, 2 weeks down the line, if you want to contact them by email or something like that, more, you know, go ahead and do that. You know what I'm saying? Hit them up 1 or 2 weeks later down the road, you know, and tell them that you saw them at the show and you didn't want to bother them there, whatever, stuff like that, you know, just something like that. And it might be better off doing it that way.
Absolutely.
Because they're busy, man. All these companies, they're all busy during this show.
Dude, I went to set up an appointment to talk to a major manufacturer today for next week, or for ICAST week, I should say, 2 weeks. And they had 2 appointments left.
Look at that.
They had two appointments left for the whole week, and it was like Thursday.
And yeah, that's like, crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. It is. It's funny to watch it.
I have one. I'll tell you right now. I do have to go when I go there. I do have one appointment to meet with one company. I do have an appointment to meet with one company. And it wasn't even on me that I asked, you know what I'm saying? It was one of those things that they actually asked me if it's okay if I meet with them during ICAST. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't going to bother them during ICAST. But it just happened to be, it was one of those things, they, could you meet during ICAST? You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, if you guys want to meet during ICAST, that's fine. You know, but it's one of those things, they're so busy. They are so busy during that time. I remember the times. Like the times that I worked at Chuck with when I was at Diablo at the time, man, that booth was so busy that,
yeah.
I mean, you have no time for anything else. I mean, it's just constant. It's busy the whole time. I mean,
yeah.
it really is.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. I mean, last year I jumped into the Hobie booth for a second, and I helped out somebody in the Hobie booth. With an interview, the guys from Bloody Decks Online or BD Outdoors, they wanted to do an interview. So, you know, they were packed. Tell them, Trey, were they packed?
Yes.
Yes. And it was nuts, man. You know, but it's a lot of fun. Like I say, it's a lot of fun. It's a great show to go to.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Are you going to go to ICAST, Trey?
Yeah.
No. So, okay. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun to go to that show. I mean,
no, I'm hanging upside down.
What? Tell the world you're hanging upside down.
I'm hanging upside down.
There you go. All right. Well, so, yeah, it was a lot of fun last year. It stands to be a lot of fun this year. Looking forward to hanging out with a lot of really cool folks and seeing some old friends and meeting new people and seeing new faces and new material, new stuff. So good deal there. What's your plan? Are you going to try and fish all this upcoming week?
Yeah, I plan to fish a little bit. I'm hoping to. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing just yet. But yeah, I plan to do some fishing. I don't know yet if I'm gonna fish in a kayak or fish in a boat yet. It all depends on the wind and everything like that. On top of that, my flatboat is sitting inside the sea deck building. So I do not know if I'm gonna have my boat back in time by this weekend or not.
Yeah.
So
well,
yep, I'm dying. What's that?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna tell you I'm dying. You know, to see what my boat's going to look like once that thing is done. You know what I'm saying? Because I could just imagine. I mean, what it's going to look like. You know, when all that sea deck is all over that boat.
Oh, it's going to look good, man. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, I've heard through the grapevine that there's some tasty creatures that are living in and around some of our local bridges. So I'm going to go hit up some mangrove snapper fishing in the next couple of days or weeks or whatever. So, but anyhow,
yeah,
hey, listen, normally we would jump out of here with all of our sponsor stuff. Pepe, go ahead and hit that real quick so we can go. My wife's just got called into work, so I got to run.
Oh, Rune?
Yep.
Oh, man. You're, hold on a second. Got me by, hold on, got to pull it up real quick. So
don't worry,
run.
Take your time. I got mine.
No.
Mine.
All right, hey, let me thank Native Watercraft, Powerpole, Aquabound, Harry Goods, Slayer Inc. Lures, C-Deck, KVB Outfitters, Kayaks by Bill, Hook One, Yak Attack, Ram Mounts, Tailing Toads, RCI Optics, and Herrera Esteli Cigars. Thank you all very much.
The cigars are incredible.
Yeah, they are.
Hey, yeah.
What?
Yeah. How do you know?
Yeah, whatever. It helps them sleep. I want to thank Hobie Kayaks. All of that. Hobie Kayaks, RCI Optics, Tackle Webs, Real Adrenaline.
Yeah, I love fishing.
Trey, I know you love fishing. Real Adrenaline Energy Drinks, Ego Net, ENO, Adventurous Custom Rods, Power Pole, Slayer Inc. Lures, Bending Branches, Paddles, and Tova Cameras, and of course, C-Deck. Trey, tell them to get their fish on, like Captain Mike Ortego would say. Say, get your fish on.
Get your fish on.
There you go. And folks, take a kid fishing with you. They are indeed the future of our sport.
Yeah, like me.
Like Trey. You're a character tonight, dude. And,
hit, dad, like me. Take me.
Yeah, exactly. It'll keep them out of trouble, keep them off of video games, and it's good for them. You never heard an 80-year-old guy talk about the good old days sitting around playing checkers. He's always outside and having a good time. So, Trey.
Yeah.
Tell people, say, we'll talk to you next week.
What the heck?
say, we'll talk to you next week. See you next week.
Well, goodbye.
Oh, that's good enough. All right, guys. Take it easy. Happy man. Thanks again. Thanks to everybody who called in.
Bye, Noah. Bye.
We'll talk to you guys soon. See ya.
See ya. Thank you.